Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Hey, this is Nicole calling from Hamilton, and I needed to let everyone know that I really proudly support Vish and Creative Control. I have for many years, I will for many more, as long as he keeps delivering these amazing interview podcasts. When you hear one of Vish's interviews, you think he's known this guest for years, they're good friends. But the truth is, he approaches every interview, whether it's sort of up-and-coming indie artists or established icons or like famous, intimidating comedians with a really deep, genuine curiosity. So he's never met this person, and the same really warm candor as though he's known them forever. I think it really lends to a great chat no matter who he's talking to. And for that reason, I think you should throw Vish, like what, $1 a month? He's got jokes. The jokes make it worth it. Support Creative Control on Patreon.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I'm Visha's wife, and remember, when you name a dog Janet or Timothy, you are dragging humanity down just a little bit.
Alderman. Four.
Going over the edges.
Sergeant and Comrade is a lo-fi soul crew based in Calgary, Alberta. Spearheaded by vocalist Yolanda Sargent and producer Yevgeny Bykovits, otherwise known as either Jay or Comrade, Sargent and Comrade appeared on the scene in the last decade, flooring people in concert with their open-ended infusion of jazz, soul, funk, dancehall, hip-hop, and other sounds. After a string of singles and EPs, the pair were longlisted for Canada's annual Polaris Music Prize for their 2020 debut album, Magic Radio. They followed that up with their latest album, The Elephant in the Room, which was released on December 3rd, 2021, and prompted us to have a talk about life in places like Alberta, Russia, Ukraine, and the Caribbean islands. how they were brought together by an impromptu performance of Killing Me Softly, the influence of golden era hip-hop on Sergeant and Comrade, collaborating with the likes of Kool Keith and the late Gift of Gab of Blackalicious, what it's like to work within Calgary's music scene, their new label Mo Gravy Records, other future plans, and more. A part of the Entertainment One Network, with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, with additional support from Blackbird Music, a wonderful record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, and friendly staff who will happily help you get whatever it is you need. Really, you can learn more about them at blackbird.ca. Plus, in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 665 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Sergeant and Comrade, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hello, Sergeant and Comrade, are you there?
Greetings. Hello. Greetings, Earthling.
Nice to chat with both of you. I can't see you at the moment, but I trust everything is going well. Let's find out together. Yolanda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How's it going? First of all, where in the world are you?
I'm in Canada, Alberta to be exact, Calgary to be even more exact.
You were vague, and then you got gradually more precise and specific. That was good.
Thank you.
How are things going in Calgary for you?
Things are going good. We have a Chinook right now, so the weather's definitely warmed up.
Tell the folks listening at home what a Chinook is. They may not know. They're not maybe not from Canada. They might be from some place, and they don't know what that means. What does that mean?
A Chinook is when it's winter, but you get like spring-like temperatures, and the snow melts away.
That's amazing. You're like a walking encyclopedia. That was a perfect definition. I think that's true. It is. Like, did you have in Calgary? I'm in Edmonton, as you know, I think. We had, like, it's been, like, almost virtually every day for the last 6 weeks. It's been, like, minus 25 or 30 or 40. But then there'll be, like, a day where it's, like, 10 degrees plus, and it doesn't make any sense. Have you had that?
In a different way. Like, we had a cold freeze, and then it warmed up, and it's been warm ever since. But it's supposed to snow tomorrow, so it's probably going to end.
Yeah, this weather, I don't know about this Alberta weather. But anyway, it's nice to chat with you. I'm glad we're both alive and
for
in
sure.
Alberta. That's about the best you can hope for these days. Also on the line, Jay, are you there?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Nice to chat with you, Jay. Thanks for joining us. Where in the world are you?
Same spot, different channel.
Calgary, Alberta. How close are you to Yolanda right now if you were to take a walk? How far a walk would it be?
It's like a 15-minute drive, so I don't know.
It's like a three-day walk. 3 day walk. Takes forever, yeah. Okay, so you guys are, how long have you been in Calgary there, Jay?
Maybe like 15 years.
15 years, okay.
Somewhere around that. Or 20 years.
Almost 20 years. Congratulations. That's good, I think. Do you like it?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Calgary, it's got its pluses, it's got its minuses, but I'm still here.
Yeah, we just did a weather report. You don't have to do the pluses and minuses. I know what you're talking about. Now, wait a minute. You say you've been there 20 years. You say it's okay. Or what did you say when I said? You said it's fine. You said something that sounded a bit non-committal, which makes me think, you're a free person. You could live anywhere in the world. Why do you stay in Calgary if it's just okay?
Well, my family's here, so I'm here.
Oh, I see. Okay. So for 20 years, you and your family have been there. Where did you move from?
Moved from a bunch of places. Well, from Russia, Ukraine. I lived in Germany for a bit, too.
Wow. Okay. So is it just work? Work brought your family to Alberta?
We immigrated. I'm an immigrant.
Yes. Well, I gathered that. Is it just better? You thought it would be... I guess if you're going to come from Russia, Ukraine, which, by the way, are both in the news right now and not good. Do you have family over there? Is everything okay? I mean, I know it's not okay, but how are you feeling about what's happening as we're speaking?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how okay things are, but we'll find out in time to come.
Do you have family there still?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So are they, do you hear tell how they're doing? Are they feeling kind of intense about the...
Yeah, I mean, it's just the one region, right, that's pretty tense right now.
Right.
The other parts of the country, they're not as bad, so...
Okay. But still, you come from a place where there's a frigid tundra, so what better place to move to than Alberta, right? Is it similar weather-wise from your memory as a child?
Yeah, for sure. Ukraine's a little bit warmer. Russia's similar, but again, Russia's a big place, so
right.
There's, you know, southern, there's northern, but very similar for sure.
Okay, nice. Well, it's glad you're here. I'm glad you're in Alberta because we're all benefiting from the stuff you do. So that's cool. And we'll get into that in a second. Yolanda, I didn't really ask you the same question. I feel like I know a bit more of your background because we've had a conversation like this at least once before. But again, for people listening, where's your family from originally, per se? Or where are you from originally? Are you from Calgary originally, or did you come from somewhere else?
So I was born and raised in Calgary. I'm a first generation Canadian. My parents are from the Caribbean. My dad is from Antigua, but we have like Scottish lineage in us. And then my mom is from Grenada, and then we have like Dominican in us.
Right. So the furthest thing from Russia, Ukraine, or Alberta, weather-wise, otherwise.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So, but you're a proud Calgarian. You've been here your whole life. Have you ever thought about living somewhere else?
If I were to move somewhere, I'd probably move to Antigua, like somewhere hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly, like, I never really think about, because I'm from Ontario and we have all the seasons. You know how, like, most places have four seasons? And then here it's like, it's, what is it, 2.5 seasons? I don't even know. I haven't figured it out yet. But I miss the dynamic range and, like, kind of knowing for sure for a week what the weather's going to be like. But here I find I never know. Do you understand where I'm coming from there?
Yeah, you leave your house in a parka and then you come home in shorts. Like that's Alberta.
Yeah, that's it's weird in that regard. Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, anyway, we've talked about the weather. We've talked about geography. We've talked about many topics. Thank you for indulging me. But I like to get a feel for what people are up to, where they're from. And we're all from around the same place. Yeah, I haven't been to Calgary once since moving here because of the pandemic, I guess. Should I come to Calgary? Is it nice to visit? I've been to Calgary. I just haven't been on this leg of my life, if you know what I'm saying. Jay, is there lots to do in Calgary? Is it vibrant?
I don't know. Yeah, come through. We'll hang out.
Okay.
There's, you know, it's things are a little bit less to do with all these restrictions and things. But
yeah,
it's you know, there's things going on.
Okay. All right. Yolanda, there is a lot to do. If there wasn't a pandemic, do you find there's a lot to do in Calgary?
I would say so. It depends, like, what you're looking for. I like going to Broken City. They have good music, good DJs, good food, good patio. The National Music Center is here. There's, like, Commonwealth is, like, good for dancing. Annabella's is, like, good for, like, Italian food. But there's lots of different places that you can go to depending on, like, what it is that you like to do. Right. In the summer, they have, like, music festivals. So, like, One Love and, like, there's the Calgary Stampede. Really depends on like what time of year you come to Calgary as to like what would be available as to what to do.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know if I like to do anything anymore. It's been so long since I've done anything. Like I don't even remember what I used to do. I used to go to shows. I remember that. That was fun. But I haven't been to one in so long that I don't know.
When's the last time you... Live music.
Live music. That's where it's at. When's the last time you went to a show, Jay? Do you even remember?
That I didn't play at?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to be a few months now.
Oh, it's only been a few months. That's good. For me, it's been like a year and a half or 2 years or something. Right, because there was a bunch of stuff. Weren't a bunch of people coming through for like Calgary Stampede events this past summer?
Yeah, I didn't go to the Stampede, though.
Do people like the Stampede? I can't tell. The Stampede, for those who don't know who are listening to us, was sort of the impetus for our government saying, everything's fine. You don't have to wear masks and we don't have to have restrictions. Just go outside, meaning please attend the Stampede. At least that was the impression some of us had. Is that inaccurate, Yolanda? Is that what... Because that was even what I... Well, that's what I thought. Like, why would they suddenly lift all the things? Nothing's going to be good. And then everyone was like, it's because of the Stampede. Is that true, do you think?
I don't really want to state my true opinion on that, just because... of the
politics,
the day and age
local
that we live in.
Local politics? Yeah, got it.
But
yeah.
What I will say is that, the Stampede, it's pretty fun. Like, they have, like, the home lottery tickets. They have, like, donuts and stuff like that. But I think a lot of people, it's just, like, 11 days of, like, solid partying. Because that's what people do, right? Because a lot of acts come in. A lot of people come into town. There's a lot of movement during that time, for sure.
Right. All right.
Yeah, it's a big money maker, right, for the city. It's a big tourist
thing. And for the province as well. So it's definitely good for the economy.
Right.
So I'm sure that's why they did it. But I mean, it does get pretty greasy, like, you know, with all the stuff going on.
Yeah, like for those who don't remember or know, they did the thing. They opened everything up around that time, and then like a month later, remember that time, guys, when Alberta had more cases of the thing than anywhere in North America? That was weird. The one province.
Yeah, I mean,
but there was also a chasing summer during that time too, right? There was a lot of movement during that timeline.
No, I know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if you can blame.
And they got rid of the mask mandate too, so a lot of things changed. I don't know.
Well, I'm not blaming the Stampedes per se. Fine, I live here too. I can't. They'll come after me too, right? I don't know how the Stampede. You guys sound scared of the Stampede. I don't want to be scared of it. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. You're not scared. Okay. Okay, all right. I was just making a joke. But no, I just mean that was the impetus for them to lift we can agree that that's around the time they lifted all the restrictions, because it was right around the same time. I don't think it was a coincidence that event was happening, and then they were like, it's okay, just go to the thing. And then, and including lifting the mask mandate, but that's when the numbers went up, and that's when we were doing worse than anywhere in North America, like worse than Texas, worse than Florida. And so I feel like they're connected, but we don't have to dwell. This is just my opinion.
Honestly, I'd have to see the data to know for sure.
Yeah, and I think it was after. I think it was in like August when all that stuff happened, and Stampede is in July.
No. But what stuff happened in August?
Like the numbers and the cases and things.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks for the numbers to go up after they lift the thing, so that they
something
lifted.
Like that. I'm sure there's a correlation.
There's absolutely a correlation. There's no denying there's a correlation. I'm just saying that's when we was bad. So then I got a little embarrassed on behalf of everyone here. It'd be like, oh, really? It's just for this one thing, and we're the worst. But anyway, that's way behind us now. It's. But and we're, you know, everyone's doing about equally good or bad at this point. So, you know, it is what it is. But it was bad, and I didn't like it. It made me nervous. And I subsequently haven't been to a show. I just want to go to shows. You know what I'm saying? I just want to go out to see a show, but I don't feel comfortable yet. Do you know where I'm coming from, Jay? Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, but I've been going to shows this whole time. You know, me and Yolanda have been
playing shows,
rocking shows and doing the thing. I do DJ gigs. I'm around unmasked people all the time. And
Have you had any close calls with the COVID?
I don't know.
You haven't had it as well.
I don't think so. I don't know.
You don't know.
I was sick there like a few months back, but it was real quick and I didn't get checked or anything. I just got better.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not, but you know.
What do you mean? Why can't you say that? Why can't you guys say stuff? Every time you start saying stuff, you're like, I don't know if I want to say that. So now I'm
everything's
scared.
Everything's so touchy these days, you know? People judge.
Yeah.
Like even out here, like, you know, you get people judging you for doing stuff.
And what is your fear of judgment though, Jay? Like, cuz I don't fear being judged per se. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm being a little uptight, but then at the same time our family's been pretty good, you know? We haven't had anything. But then people are like, there's a new thing on comedy Twitter where they're like, if you haven't had COVID yet, congratulations, you're a loser. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's true. I haven't been to anything or seen anyone. Maybe I am a loser. Anyway, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but there's nothing to be afraid of. We're all making our calls the best we can, right? That's what I think. What do you think, Yolanda? It's nothing to be ashamed of, is there?
I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of, but I think like people like to paint people in certain pictures in certain lights and misconstrue their words for whatever their mission is at that particular point in time. And I'm just like, I just don't want to play those games.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. You have a song about a nosy neighbor, I feel like, on the newest record, and I feel like that's the kind of person you're talking about a little bit, right? Someone who's kind of a busybody. Is that fair, Yolanda?
That story is about a true person. That story is about my neighbor. She used to like look in my house. She was always walking about. You know, I tried to close the curtain and she was always lurking, you know? But then the second part of it, we kind of switched it up a bit just to make it more relatable. Like there's a party, whatever, but based on a true story.
Right. So, but these are the kinds of people that are kind of around. I mean, in most communities, there's always someone like that. Tattletale, calling the police kind of person. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I guess so. It's just like the type of person that wants to have a problem with everything, but ultimately they have a problem with themselves. And that's why they deem to view the world like that.
Right. That's fair. No, I can see that for sure. Well, we'll get into this record in just a bit. I want to get into the relationship you guys have and this band, if you will. And Yolanda, I want to start with you. And Jay, I'm going to put you in a position where you fact check everything Yolanda says first. If anything's wrong, you hop in. You object. You say, okay. I object, Your Honor. And I'll say, sustained. Sorry, I've just, the movie A Few Good Men has been on 2 days in a row on the TV. And I can't stop acting like a lawyer and a judge. Yolanda, how did the Sergeant and Comrade first come together by your recollection?
We met at a party. We started I sang Killing Me Softly. And then Jay was like, oh, like you have a good voice. And he said that he had beats for me. And then we started jamming and like working on music. And then like the whole thing with Sergeant and Comrade when we first started, it was like we wanted to just have it so it was a live experience. So like either you were there or you weren't. Like there was no trace of it after. And then as the years went by, people were like, yo, you guys should like drop an album. And then we kind of just started to think about that. And then we started to put our music together.
Now, what was the context of you singing the Fuji song Killing Me Softly so that Jay witnessed it? Were you just having a conversation and you turned it into a musical? Or was there some sort of stage? Why were you singing at the party?
Because I told Jay that I was a singer. And he's like, yo, sing something. And then I sang.
Oh, wow. This is like, it's almost like the scene in 8 Mile. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong reference. Never mind. Jay, to your recollection, was it a good party, first of all? Was that a nice party that you went to? Were there chips and dip?
Oh, yeah, it was... If it's the same one I'm thinking of, I honestly, I don't remember.
It was a beer party, Jay.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah. No, it was a great party. It was, my buddy was, I think he was moving out of this house. And it was one of those parties where you like paint the walls and go ham and disrespect the property.
Oh, no. I see. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty wild. Did you notice each other across the room kind of thing? Like, Jay, how did you first start interacting with Yolanda at the party?
I think we just met through some friends in terms of, you know, we had common friends.
We had mutual friends, and then we just started talking.
Right. Now, is it normal for you? So, Jay, you make conversations with people at parties, and they tell you what their talents are, what their vocation might be. Is it normal for you to throw down immediately? Like, if you're talking to someone, and they're like, yeah, I run a landscaping business, do you say, carve me a shrub or something? Like, what was it that made you? Why did you think Yolanda should sing on command, so to speak?
I honestly do not remember that. I don't know if that's how it went down.
I feel like I told him I could sing, and then I'm like, yeah, like, do you want me to sing something? And then it was like, then I sang Killing Me Softly.
I see. So that's fine. That makes sense. That was just in your repertoire. Like, before you met Jay, Yolanda, were you known as a singer in your community or in public?
In my community, yes, because I used to sing like the Canadian anthem at all these independence dinner and dances. And like I sang in choir and then like Mount Royal Children's Choir. But then after choir, I didn't sing for a while just because people used to tell me that I sucked at singing. So I kind of just like took it to heart. And I think that when you're coming up and you're doing something, there's like all these people that you look up to and you just like, you know, like you listen to like Etta James, Billie Holiday. It's like their voices, Nina Simone, are like flawless, right? So you're like trying to sing, but you're not really sounding like that. But then at the same time, you just got to realize that like you have to find your own voice because not everyone has the same talking voice. So why would someone have the same singing voice? It's all about like expressing yourself, you know?
I've had the sensation listening to your records in particular, Yolanda, where your voice is so dynamic that it can change. You're able to change the character and the attack of how you're singing a thing, I guess depending on the soundtrack, if you will, the music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair characterization? Do you feel like you treat each song with almost, not each song, but do you feel like you have different styles and voices that you employ?
Yeah, I definitely use different styles and different voices because I feel like every song requires like a different character, a different personality, you know, to get it to come across. Because if you're just singing the same way all the time, it's just becomes mundane. It's just like, oh, it's another song like that. So it kind of helps to challenge myself to see like what I can do with my voice and to like push my voice.
That's fair. Now, I want to go back to what you were saying a moment ago about people telling you that you weren't good at singing, because those people sound like bastards. I don't like them. I don't know who they are, but they bother me. You know what I'm saying? I don't like them. I don't like what they said to you or what they did to you. I know we're being cagey about what we say on this podcast. Do you want to name each of them right now and give me their address?
It's crazy because there were individuals that would like say things to my face, and then there was people who I knew that were making music in the community, and I had like, you know, one of those little microphones and like, you know, a PC computer, and I would just like record myself singing on that and like send it to those friends who were making music. I'm like, yeah, like this girl just sent this to me, like, you know, like what do you think of her voice? And they'd just be like laughing all the time, like, oh, this person sucks, right? So it was like it was kind of on two levels. It was in like a covert kind of way, and it was like on a face-to-face level. Like, oh, like you're not as good as this person or whatever, right? But it's not really about that. It's just about being yourself because everyone's an individual. Well,
so being objective, though, because you were kind of just starting out, do you feel like you're better now than you were when they were making fun of you?
I don't really know what to say in reference to that because like when you're always just yourself, like it's hard to figure that out. Like, I don't know, probably because as you get older and as you do a craft more and more, like you become better at it. But like, I wouldn't really be able to gauge that.
The weird thing is we record, this is the kind of stuff where you record it. Like, so I've been making this podcast we're on and I've been recording interviews with people and airing them in public since around 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've gotten better because every once in a while I'll dig into the archives to just look for something. I'm like, ugh. And I also have been playing drums on record since the year 1998, and I know I've gotten better at that. So what I'm saying is sometimes when you make a demo, it's just to see what it sounds like objectively, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you get a sense of how to improve it. So what I'm getting at, Yolanda, is have you revisited those tapes, and do you see like where you were like, wow, I can't believe I used to sing like that. I would never do that now. I would do it this way. Like, that's kind of where I'm coming from. It doesn't necessarily have to be better, but different. Do you know what I mean?
I think that the style has evolved for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, the style has evolved for sure. And plus, like, I think that a lot of the times, like, because people are comparing you to other people, you're trying to sing like other people. And then when you start to just realize your own voice, it's like a different thing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Now, Yolanda, we're mostly focused on your vocals, which is obviously a huge part of this group. But do you have other musical, like, do you play musical instruments? Do you have other beyond singing? Do you do anything else in terms and writing? Do you lyrics, which I assume you do? And correct me if I'm wrong. But what are your other roles in Sergeant and Comrade or otherwise?
I write poetry and stuff like that. I'm working on like this little book, but I don't know if I'm ever going to release it. I haven't decided yet. It's like a handbook to life, and I draw, like to paint, but like, I don't know, like when it comes to Sergeant and Comrade, sometimes I have like ideas and then we like try them out, but I wouldn't say that I'm a producer, but I want to like do more stuff musically for sure.
Do you play any instruments per se, or do any like programming or anything like that?
No, I used to play piano when I was younger, but I quit that.
Oh, why did you quit? Sorry, my son always wants to... Okay. He can maybe hear me. I'm going to whisper because I don't want him to get any more ideas in their head there. But they want to quit. And they always tell me they want to quit. Why did you quit?
Well, my brother was a piano prodigy. So he won all these awards at a young age. And then my parents got me involved in piano. And I don't know, like, it's weird. Because for me, when it comes to music, I always felt like it had to just, like, come directly out of me. Because when there's, like, a third party or, like, another piece to it, it doesn't, like, compute properly in my brain. Like, I've always felt like that. So it's like someone could play a trumpet, but it's like I could learn how to make my voice sound like a trumpet. You know, it's just like I always felt like I could try to do that sort of thing rather than necessarily learning an instrument, because when the instrument comes in, it's just like a disconnect for me. It's hard to explain.
Right. But so you view your voice as an instrument?
Yes.
Right. Okay. I got it. Speaking of instruments, Jay, let's get to you. First of all, how would you categorize your role in Sergeant and Comrade? What do you feel like your primary role is in the group?
I would say it's the producer, right? I do the production, the studio engineering, the mixing, song structure, composition, all that stuff.
The music videos, the art, yeah, the NFTs.
Dabbling in all kinds of stuff.
Wow, that's impressive. What is your background in terms of what got you into music in the first place, as, you know, as a kid or whatever? What sparked your interest in music?
Just, you know, having fun with friends, really. I came up from like the hip hop school of things, so we were just like into hip hop quite a bit when I was younger, and into like all the cool underground hip hop vibes and so
well, what era are we talking about there? What's your sweet spot for that kind of hip hop?
Like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Anyone in particular in terms of production even?
Well, I like you know, the guys that aren't super clean, overproduced. Guys like Madlib and, like, you know, like that super grimy, like MF Doom type of production, like the real crackly, like,
yeah,
dirty vinyl sample stuff, and just stuff that has some character. And I'm not super big on like super polished kind of pop sounds.
So maybe is there a little Dilla Premiere in there a little bit maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. All that stuff. You know, there's so many great producers that I like that, you know, but...
RZA? Are you a RZA person?
Yeah, I love RZA.
Yeah, me too. RZA's I'm a big amazing. RZA. I like everyone involved in the... RZA kind of stopped doing it, which I found frustrating, and just there were all these other people, Mathematics and everyone else, making the stuff, which is good, but I feel like they're just like, I'm going to try to be like RZA in 1993. And they get it. They do get it. Okay, so that's your sweet spot. And do you play any other instruments per se?
You know, I'd dabble on some keys and things. I'm not very good, and like in terms of technically being able to like play instruments, and I'm surrounded by like amazing musicians that are just like so good that
yeah,
it's like you play this, I'll just produce and mix and do all this stuff.
Do you feel like a deep connection to a Calgary music community, both hip-hop and otherwise? Like, do you feel like it's a vibrant and supportive scene there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a scene. I definitely feel connected just because I've been out here so long, right? And it's definitely kind of like, I guess we represent Calgary in a way, so We're definitely tied into the scene here.
You say that with a little bit of like a little bit of hesitance or something. Like when you say it is definitely a scene. Can you elaborate upon that? Like I know it can get sometimes when you're in a city, it can get cliquey. It can get there can be obstacles that are infrastructural, like venues get shut down or what have you, or people don't really always seem to want to help everyone else. Like, can you characterize where you're at in Calgary based on sort of those factors? Like, is it viable? Do you feel supported by just the city itself to do what you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's way better now, right? Like, back when I was first doing stuff and we were doing stuff back in the day, it was like nothing like it is now, especially with the hip hop stuff. That was just like, you know, just having rap on the radio was like a big deal back in the, in the day. Yeah. And like, and things are way different now from what they used to be. And I would say now it's a lot, definitely a lot more supportive and a lot more diversity and a lot of different kind of sounds and things happening.
Yolanda, what's your take on what Jay's saying there? Do you think it's better than it was, or do you still see ways it could be improving? Just in terms of, like I say, that kind of music community infrastructure, support network kind of stuff. What do you think?
It's definitely better than it was. I remember, like, if there was going to be a show that involved, like, people who were associated with hip-hop, it was like most venues would say no. Most venues would just try to like redirect you somewhere else or just audit. Like, I remember when Jay and I were first starting out, like, we would send our demo out to venues. They'd be like, yeah, this is more for like this jazz night, or it's more for this, or this doesn't fit our niche market, or whatever it is, right? Like, so now there's a lot more venues and a lot more places that are like open to having that kind of music and different kinds of music in general. I think that a lot of things like, for instance, like the Big Jam and like Groove Theory, it really opened up like the network side of music. So basically there's all these musicians and they can just go to this big jam and it's like no one necessarily knows each other, but you can like make friends from going to those sort of things. So those really opened up the person to person like communication within the music scene. And then of course, like having the National Music Center here, and then just like different kinds of showcases and things. So it's like, and even just like through Calgary Folk Fest and stuff, because they connected Jay and I with a lot of artists, like not just like in Calgary. So that was cool too. So there's lots of avenues for that for sure.
Yeah. I have this question for both of you, but I'm going to actually take it back to Jay. Is it like you guys are really characterizing what you do as hip hop? And I see that. It's funny, I was playing the elephant in the room today in the kitchen while I was making pancakes for my family for breakfast, and my wife was kind of wandering in out of the room. At one point, she was like, are you listening to Dancehall? I'm like, I guess I am for the next 2.5 minutes, maybe, and then it'll be something else, is what I kind of thought to myself, you know? But in that vein, Jay, is Sergeant Comrade, do you think... particularly difficult to categorize or classify? Do you have trouble explaining what the sound of it is to others when you're called upon to do so?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That's why we kind of, you know, initially we were always kind of categorized as hip-hop.
Yeah.
Or people try to say it's like R&B or something, which it's not either. And so eventually we just kind of had to make up our own genre, and we said it was lo-fi soul is what we're calling it.
You know, ironically, these are all descriptors that one could use for the Fugees, who we were alluding to earlier. What do you think of that, Yolanda? Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. I think that
thank you. First of all, thank you. I needed that, just a little validation. I appreciate that. No, you know what I mean, though? They were also very difficult to categorize because they had so many different moods and modes and vibes in their group. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. I think that, yeah, they probably could be categorized in that to some degree, but I don't really feel like it's the same, but I could see.
No. I wasn't even suggesting that part of it. I just think it's just that you two met basically, like this started on the basis of you singing a Fugees song. And even though it was a cover, by the way. So, you know, it's a song they made huge. But interestingly, that probably triggered in both of you a stylistic connection, whether you realized it or not. Oh, Fugees, you know? That's what an open-ended concept for a band the Fugees were. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think it was just more for me, personal freedom. Because here I was singing, like, all this, you know, classic, like, English music in my choir, you know? And then... Yeah. Growing up in a home where there was like, you know, soca, reggae, you know, dancehall, jazz, funk, all these different things playing. And then just coming into my own where I was listening to Lauryn Hill. I was listening to like Erykah Badu. I was listening to all these things, right? So I feel like the music that we make is just an amalgamation of like everything that is around. Like everything that I've consumed throughout my lifetime, it's definitely like an expression of that to a certain degree.
And going back to what we were kind of talking about genre-wise, that's what hip-hop is. Hip-hop is kind of everything. At least that's how that's how I listen to it. Like if you listen to like the other day, I popped on the W by Wu-Tang Clan, which I really like that record. I liked it when it came out, and it's really like it's got the same stuff we're describing, sample wise or just with the guest list, like the features. It's kind of all over the place. So Jay, I assume late '90s, early 2000s hip-hop head that you are. That open-endedness, that hip-hop could be anything, that appeals to you as a music maker yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a DJ as well, right? Like, as a DJ, I play a lot of different genres and different types of music. And, you know, I love all sorts of stuff. So it definitely all comes out on the production side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there is obviously, when people bristle at hip-hop, I think there's often a racial undertone, a racist undertone, if you will. Yolanda, I know, again, you and I have had conversations along these lines in the past. Is that aspect of things improving in Calgary for you from your perspective?
I think it's a hit or miss, to be honest. You know?
Well, I was just going to say, there's some people like to pat themselves on the back and make themselves feel like better because things, they want to say it's better. But then when I talk to people who have the lived experience, they're like, it's maybe a smidge better. It's, what does that even mean, better? You know what I'm getting at? Like, why is better up to you? Shouldn't it be up to the people experiencing the marginalization and the suffering? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was racially profiled just last Friday.
Right.
So it's just like so irritating, but it is what it is. Cause like, what are you supposed to do? Cause sometimes like, as a person of color, you just feel like, even just bringing it to someone's attention, it's going to cause more problems for you than it would have if you just said nothing.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about the fact that coming from where you come from, Yolanda, there were actually different like musical orthodoxies. So there were teams like when you were in like, I remember you telling me that when you were in sort of indie rock environments, there would be some Screwface stuff. Mm-hmm. And then if you did sort of indie rock stuff in a hip hop environment, there'd be Screwface stuff. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, it was just like, I was like, the way it was just like, I didn't fit into any particular like group because I was just doing my own stuff, like just like discovering myself as a person. And I don't think that there's a lot of room for that in the world for like the youth coming up because people just try to tell you who and what you should be and what you're about based off a hairstyle or like the color of your skin or whatever it may be. Because people want to put you in a box.
Right, but that's not how any real youth consume culture now. They don't consume it in boxes. They consume it kind of like generalists. Like everything is fair game kind of thing. You know, you're not just a punk kid. If you're a punk kid, you'll listen to all sorts of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess so, but they are still taking it in boxes because boxes are computers, tablets, and
phones.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah, that's fair. Jay, I don't want to leave you out of this conversation because I can imagine even for you it might have been a challenge among some of your friends to make the music you make. Some of them might have thought, well, that's not for our culture. Did you have any of that?
Yeah, there's definitely a bit of that going on throughout the years.
Do you speak up? Do you have to be like, come on, man, give me a break. Who cares? What do you say to people, or do you just go about your day?
Yeah, I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, let the streets talk.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When people say, what are you supposed to say? Me, I always come up with something to say. I don't know why. It's just a weird personality trait. I just start talking, even though there's nothing to say. You're right, Jay. Like, what is there to say? Vish finds a way. He finds something to say. That's all I'll say. Sorry to say the word say so many times. So let's talk a little bit. I appreciate all this background and insight about your city, as well as the music you make. Let's focus in a little bit on the elephant in the room, because you guys have been... Sorry, Jay, when did this Sergeant Comrade start? Was it like around 2014 or so?
It sounds about right. Somewhere around there, 2015 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, around there.
So, but it took your first... You released like, what, EPs and singles. Your debut album came out, I want to say it was 2020. Is that right, Jay?
Yeah. June 2020, we released our first
June 2020.
Because
it was
June
2020,
yeah. Oh, June 20th, 2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay. 6-20-20 is what we're getting at there, or depending on where you're from. If you say day, month, year, it's less special. It's 26-20. Why are we doing this right now? I don't like this. I'm doing math and numbers. Anyway, Yolanda, can you speak to... For some people, they'd be like, why did it take you 5 years to put out your first album? And then, by the way, in quick succession, relatively speaking, the next year, you put out another album. Like, that's fairly remarkable. You put out Magic Radio in 2020, and then in 2021, I believe The Elephant in the Room was released. Do I have that correct, Yolanda, first of all?
Yeah, I don't really think that it took us 5 years to make an album. It's like we had stuff that we were doing that, like, we were really concerned with making an album. It was like people just kept asking. So then we decided to do it. But, like, it's not right. Like we were sitting there like, yeah, we need to get an album done. Like, it's good. Like this year, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sometimes it's just like you're just chilling. Like, someone's just chilling because, like, other life events are happening and you just got to deal with that. So you got to just put it on the back burner for a bit.
Yeah, we were also kind of honing our skills too, right? Like mm-hmm. Doing a lot of live shows with not really any record. Like we did drop a record, by the way. We dropped an EP.
That was 2014 though. That was May 8th of 2014. Oh,
okay. So 2014 yeah. When we first started, we dropped an EP. Which we then kind of buried.
Yeah.
And then from there up until now, we've just been kind of doing live shows and just kind of working on our craft and
totally.
getting our chops up and getting the band. Like when we first started, it was just the two of us. Now we got a full-on funk band, you know.
Well, by the way, I wasn't accusing you of nothing. I wasn't trying to say, hey, how come you don't have any albums? I was just curious, like that. I appreciate that. I think most bands would be better to spend some time releasing singles and EPs, and then tackling an album. Like Jay, does an album in the current times even matter as much anymore to you? Does it mean anything to put out an album versus an EP or any other kind of single?
Yeah, it does in some ways. Like, well, for personally, I still enjoy albums, full albums, because you can kind of hear the true sound of that person versus, you know, checking out a single and it's like, oh, that's what this person's all about.
Right, right.
Also, things like when you send your record out to radio, a lot of the radio stations, they wait for the full project before they play it. They won't just play a single.
Yeah.
So it makes a difference in that way as well. And, you know, having a cohesive kind of thing is way better. And with our sound, like if you took a listen to the record, you could see that it's kind of all flows into each other. And it's like, it's presented as like a
body of work
piece versus, and it's, we actually have a hard time picking singles and figuring out, it's like, oh, this is the single, or we should like really promote this one track like over the other ones, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like for the lay person, they'd be like, if you told someone, hey, I wrote an article for a magazine, they'd be like, oh, that probably didn't take very long. But then if you said, I wrote a book, they'd be like, oh my God, I have no idea how you would do that. So an album is kind of like that versus a single song. Is that fair? Yolanda, do you know what I'm saying? Is that a good analogy?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. Does it mean something to you to put out a record? Like, it must mean something. Versus like an EP or a single. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
It's just like what Jay was saying, like just the body of work. I think that like each record like represents like a time in our lives, like a stage or whatever. It's nice to like put that out there because then you feel like there's all this new energy and you can just move on to like the next thing.
Yeah. So Yolanda, as you contemplate, let's just compare the two records for now, Magic Radio and The Elephant in the Room. To your ear, do you hear yourself and Jay evolving in a significant way on The Elephant in the Room? And if so, like, what are some things that jump out to you?
I think that they're two separate records. I feel like Magic Radio was kind of like a homage to like all the things that we used to hear on the radio when we were kids. So it's kind of like that sort of vibe. I feel like with The Elephant in the Room, it was more like fast paced. It was more like fun, like lighthearted in certain ways, but like, I don't know. It's just different.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And that's good. That's what you want as an artist, to not improve per se, but to evolve, to be mm-hmm. challenging yourselves as well. Jay, what would you like to say about the distinction between where Sergeant Comrade was and where you're at as of now?
Yeah, it's definitely all kinds of improvements and differences there in terms of, you know, when we dropped the first album from that time, we did a whole lot of more live shows. We did a whole lot of, you know, recordings and things. So you, every time you do more and more, you improve more and more. So
yeah,
when I listen to the two albums, I definitely hear a difference in terms of like production wise. And my style has definitely got a bit more cleaner. And I feel like I have gained some skills doing these records, and, we're working on our third one now, and I feel like that one's even better. So,
yeah. You know, one of the things that sticks out for me, I mean, features are always interesting. And on Magic Radio, there's a song called Romance in Outer Space, which features Cool Keith and, not to be outshone, DJ Weasel, classic DJ Weasel. So you've got Cool Keith on there, and I'm a huge Cool Keith fan, so that caught my eye and my ear. It's kind of like a, just for those who haven't heard it, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's a little mid-tempo in a sense. You know, Keith doesn't, it's just, he fits in with the vibe of the song. I hope that's not, is that accurate? Do you disagree, Jay?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
He fits in for sure.
It is, yeah. He fits into kind of a, more of a moodier piece. But on this new record, The Elephant in the Room, we have the late Gift of Gab, from Blackalicious on here, among other great guests. But I'm going to guess that might be one of his last features. But Jay, do you have any background info on that?
On the track?
Well, just in terms of when you got it and when in relation to when he passed away.
Well, that song is actually a few years old.
Oh, okay.
We did a remix, and we were set to release it. Like we talked to him about it, that we were going to drop this remix on this new record. And we were talking about working on a whole brand new track with him as well, which never got into production. But this is a remix of an older song that we did with him back a few years back that we wanted to kind of repolish and put out there.
I see. And Jay, how did you connect with Gift of Gab?
Well, Yolanda actually met him. And Yolanda, you want to tell that story?
Yeah. So I was hanging out with my brother, Alexander, and he was like, yo, like, Blackalicious is playing, like, Gift of Gab is coming to town. Like, we have to go see him, because we used to watch, like, BT all the time growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yo, like, we're going to meet this guy. Like, we're going to meet him. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Because my brother, he always just, like, says what he wants and then it happens. So we walk down the steps. So basically the show's over, right? And it was, like, a sick show. So we walk down the steps and Tim is just, the Gift of Gab is just sitting there on his cell phone. And he, like, looks up. So my brother's like, yo, like, this is my sister. Like, she's a singer. Like, she'll sing for you right now. And then Gift of Gab was like, only if she wants to sing. So then I sang, and then he loved it, and then we like became friends. So like we were friends for like, I don't know, like 12-13 years, and he would just like tell me the things I needed to do as an artist just to be better, like just like tips and stuff like that. And he was always just like this positive person in my life, and I always felt like it was so special that someone that I looked up to and I used to see like on TV would show like an interest in me, you know?
Well, first of all, that's a really beautiful and lovely story and a real testament to Tim's generosity of spirit. Secondly, do you just always have to sing for the people you meet? What is the, why does this keep happening to you?
It's crazy though, because like, I think that a part of being a singer, especially, it's like either you're going to do it or you're not. It's like, yeah, I sing. And it's like, sing something. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't have my tea today. You know, it's like a do or die type thing. Like, yeah. That's how I've always felt. Like, even like in hip hop, right? If you look at like rappers, it's like, yo, I'm a rapper. Then it's like, yo, let me battle you. But it's like with a singer, you don't have to battle another singer. So it's like, it doesn't take anything out of you to just sing because they want you to do it. If you don't do it, then you're not like seizing that opportunity, that moment.
Yeah. There are singers who battle. Have you ever seen the movie The Sound of Music? I feel like, yeah, that whole thing is just a lot of do, re, mi. I feel like they're all just fighting. What do you remember what you sang for Gift of Gab?
Them Their Eyes.
Oh, okay. And it blew him away?
Yeah, he loved it.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, I'm sorry for your loss, that you lost your friend. I know for some of us, it's Gift of Gab from Blackalicious, but for you, it must have been very difficult. So I want to just pass along my condolences. Yeah, that's hard. I got to interview Gift of Gab once, and in 2012, I want to say, and it was fun. And so anyway, no, that's a cool highlight. So that's a highlight. Are there any, like, Jay, do you have any other highlights on this record that you want to point out to people?
Yeah.
I have another one.
Go ahead.
I gotta think about it for a sec. Go ahead, Yolanda.
Okay, so actually I have two. So the first one that I want to talk about is, like, so we have this guy, his name's Champagne the Top Banger, and he's on the song Look This Way, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, like, I know all these like cats in Calgary that like do dance hall or whatever, and I was just like, oh, like who's this cat, right? Because I started seeing all these songs that he was putting on like Instagram and stuff. So I was like, oh, like this cat is like really talented, and he's like straight from Jamaica, right? So I hit him up and he was like down to do the track. So like that was pretty hype. And yeah, it was just nice to like see someone doing something that you liked and then just be able to just like make it happen, you know? So that was cool. And then I'd say like working with K-Riz again. I really like working with K-Riz. We did a song like Take Me to a Place Where Love Is, and then we did like The Mountain, and we're going to be working on some more tracks, but he's like really laid back, nice to work with, just like good vibes. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of the people we got on the album, they just fit into the track. Like it's like we heard them on the track as we were making the track.
And for those who don't know, where is K-Riz from?
Edmonton.
There you go. So you got some local, that's nice. You have local people on the record, which is, I assume, very important to you to have your people in your, and DJ Weasel is back again, by the way.
so it's bring Weasel back.
You gotta bring Weasel back. That's just the way Weasel is.
Yeah, I was talking to him last night.
So that's funny. Good. Yeah. I remember him being a character whenever I saw him with Cadence Weapon.
He's awesome.
Jay, do you have highlight? Do you want to share anything? One thing from the record that sticks out for you?
In terms of the tracks, I mean,
or just so you know, like behind the music, is there a story even that sticks out for you that about making a track or some experience you had? I'm just curious.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, there's lots of stories and things, you know, and each track has like a story behind it, really. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I guess something cool would be like on the Gift of Gab remix, the secret song, it's called. What I did for the remix there was, it's called the Numbers Station Mix. And what I did is I sampled real Numbers Station recordings. And for those who are not familiar, they're like those radio transmissions from like the Cold War era. And they're still going on today.
Yeah.
And it's basically, you got to kind of catch them if you can. Sort of thing, where there are secret messages being broadcasted through radio waves. So I, in order to make the track a little bit more secretive, and kind of incorporated that whole aspect of it into the song, which I thought added some cool flavor to it.
So what is the purpose of those number station secret messages? Who are they meant to go to, and what is meant to happen after you receive such a message? I guess it depends on the message, but what are some examples of a message that might go out via a number station?
Well, they're basically just a random string of numbers. So you'll have a person that's just on the radio. All of a sudden, this, you know, a voice will come on. It'll be like a woman or a man, or and it'll be like, you know, like 25, 36, 78. Or sometimes they'll speak in names. So it'll be like John, Richard, Timothy or something. And then there's ones in Russian as well. And like what it is, it's basically code. And if you have a way to decode the message, you can hear the transmission and hear what they're trying to tell you. So the purpose of it is obviously it's anyone's guess, unless you know what it's all about. I'm assuming it's some kind of way to for like people to like message spies or something, or like.
So just to be clear, there's a chance, a small chance, that somebody somewhere in the world plays this on the radio, and then there might be a diplomatic incident.
I mean,
the wrong person hears it, and they're like, "Oh, the code! I must spring into action." And then there's like a political assassination, and then
might be world peace.
Months of like investigation. Oh, you didn't use the full code. Okay, so
yeah, I only used a little bit of it, so they only get the partial message. So.
You left enough code to stress some spy completely out and not know what the assignment actually is. They're just like,
it'll be like, you have to assassinate, and then it stops. And then it's like, who is it?
Oh, my God. This is what a nightmare. Wow. Well, it's very responsible of you to cut off some of the code, I guess. I'm just nervous now, but that's just my nature. Anyway, I appreciate this conversation. And before we go, I want to give you both an opportunity to talk about any future plans. I know often, you know, people are on the show to talk about a record that has just come out, which usually means they're already working on new songs. So I'm curious if that's going on. And also, Jay, are there any other things or plans you want to talk about?
We just launched our brand new record label, Mo Gravy Records.
Oh, congratulations. Mo Gravy. Is that
because you're gravy?
Are you hungry? Are you a glutton? Do you just need more gravy?
It can mean many things, you know. It's up to the interpretation. It could mean more flavor. It could mean more cash, you know, the gravy train.
Oh,
it could mean all sorts of things. But I think it's you know, synonymous with the kind of flavor we're bringing, which is that soul food type flavor, you know.
Nice. So it's a new label. Is there a roster at this point, or is it mostly just Sergeant and Comrade?
Yeah, we're in the process of building up the roster right now. We got the new Sergeant and Comrade dropping on that. K Riz was actually the first one to drop his album. Peace and Love was on that was the first Mo Gravy album. Elephant in the Room, that was the second one. So we got another K Riz project coming. We got Fly Trap, which is going to be like really cool funk album. And we got my man Dirty Sample. He's going to be dropping instrumental kind of hip hop sort of vibes. We're also looking into kind of turning the label into kind of like a crypto label sort of deal. But I can't reveal too many secrets around that at this time just yet. But keep your hats on.
Do you have to keep it secret? Are you keeping it secret because you're worried someone's going to steal your monkey art? I feel like that's the only thing I understand about crypto is that, or NFTs. There's just a lot of artwork that looks like it was made by people in the third grade, and it's often monkeys.
Man,
is that
it's all,
apes and monkeys?
It's all
like,
apes.
I don't, yeah.
It's all apes.
I don't. So that's just a new frontier you guys are exploring. Okay, good for you. Some sort of NFT type thing. Okay. Well, that's cool. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Yolanda, if people want to learn more about Sergeant Comrade or you two individually, where do you think people should go to learn more about your doings and happenings and potential espionage maneuvers?
They can go to molegravyrecords.com. That's what it is, right, Jay?
Yeah.
And then sergeantxcomrade.com. You can check us out on Instagram. You can check us out on Facebook. Most of the social platforms were around there.
Yeah. And Jay, is the record on vinyl? I thought I saw it there on your Bandcamp. Is that right?
Yeah, we're still in the process of making that happen. The vinyl plants are kind of backed up right now. And
extremely backed up.
Yeah.
Extremely backed up. Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get the record until like maybe like April or May. But it's in the works. Right now it's just digital.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you do have a Bandcamp, right?
Yeah.
I think. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. Okay, well, if there's a song that we can go out on from The Elephant in the Room, I wonder if how are we going to do this? I'll do it by consensus, I think. I'm going to go to Yolanda to pick it, but Jay, I'm giving you veto power. and right. If there needs to be further discussion or debate, we can have it. Yolanda, keep in mind that Jay has access to special spy coding and could smite us both down if we give him any lip. Anyway, Yolanda, can you pick a song for us to go out on right now?
I'm going to choose... Oh, it's tough. I'm feeling Hail Mary right now.
Hail Mary featuring Rasheed Chappelle, is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Who is Rasheed Chappelle, first of all?
He's like this hip-hop like legend for the most part. Like he's been like in the scene for like a while, like a long time. He's from New York. He talks about, like, a lot of this, it's like the voice, it's like if the streets, like the ghetto and all that kind of stuff, like, had, like, someone who was watching and taking notes the whole time, like, while all these things were happening. He speaks, like, vivid truths, like, he's like a painter, like, he paints canvases with his words.
Hmm. Well, that's a lovely way of putting it. And you connected, how did you connect with Rasheed?
There's a producer, his name's Recognize Real. He's out of New York and he suggested me for a track on one of Rasheed's albums. And then we just connected that way and then we just keep making tracks. It's pretty fun.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah,
that's
Yolanda's been doing a lot of stuff out in New York, remotely, like doing hooks for all these rappers in New York. Like,
oh, wow.
I think that was all the Planet Asia connections, right, Yolanda?
Yeah.
That's great. Now, Jay, are you okay with that choice, Hail Mary? And if so, do you want to say anything about your role in it?
Yeah, Hail Mary's a great track.
The Torchettes are on it, too.
Yeah. We got the Torchettes featuring the Torchettes, which are a local, I guess they're a folk band, Yolanda? Or how would you categorize them?
I would say they have lots of elements of like blues, like soul, like folk.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we got the Torchettes doing backup vocals on this track and it's, I like this track for sure.
All right. Well, let's hear it. That sounds good. This is from the new album, The Elephant in the Room by Sargent and Comrade. This is Hail Mary featuring all the people that they just described. And I just want to say, Yolanda, Jay, this was a pleasure for me. I hope you enjoyed it, and I wish you the best of luck in the future. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having
us.
She's dressed in all black. She's got that Angela Davis stay. And she be praying on her knees, saying, Lord, help me, please get out of this captivity. And she cries, and she cries. Hail Mary, full of grace. How I long to feel your sweet embrace. Lend your helping hand with this heavy load on this treacherous road. Slang, gripping on the grain, let the beast bang. Ooh.
back dripping like it's rain. Oh, why you always say what you say when you say my name? Why you always say what you say when you say my name? Why you always say what you say when you say my name? Say my name.
Hail Mary. Hail Mary. Hail Mary. Lord. Black power, black pride, and black trauma. Black babies, black bags, black mamas. Black women, the backbone on front lines. Black queens, by any means, protect mine. Black fists are protesting, black gloves. Black man, black woman is black love. City streets baptized with black blood. History rewrote what black was. In the Vatican, black Madonna. That mean the Big Bang was a black designer. Set the truth free in a time for lies up. So let's Hail Mary as she reminds us.
Hail Mary, full of grace. Heavy load on this treacherous road. Please protect my soul.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks once again to Yolanda and Jay from Sergeant and Comrade for appearing on this, the 665th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available almost wherever you get your podcasts. Almost. If you can't find an episode you're looking for some reason, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, vishtana.com. You can like Creative Control on the Facebook. You can follow the show on the Twitter, at Vish Creative. Or you can follow me on the Twitter and on the Instagram directly, at Vish Khanna. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to sustain this podcast. Man, we've been getting lots of donations of late and pledges, I guess, these things. It's great. I really, really appreciate it. A note that $6 or more a month grants you access to exclusive content, and if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt, just message me on Patreon and I'll get you one while supplies last. $6 is one amount. You can really donate anything you want. People do all sorts of things. $10 a month, $3 a month, $1 a month, whatever. You can pick whatever you want. You can always change it. So just wanted to clarify that. But $6 gets you that extra audio and sometimes video content. So yeah, hopefully that entices you just a little bit to support the show, which is otherwise giving you lots and lots of free content. Again, patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to the fine Alberta record retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about at their website, blackbird.ca. That's B-L-A-C-K, that's black. Bird is B-Y-R-D, though, like the birds, that band. Blackbird.ca. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, respective wonderful businesses, and also Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, all of which support the show with in-kind support. So thank you to you folks there. Thanks, as always, to Jim Guthrie. He lets me use some music of his on the show, and he's just an old friend. One of my oldest friends, it seems. He's old. You can learn more about Jim and his music at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you for listening to this episode with Sergeant and Comrade. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll check out their music and also consider subscribing to this podcast or following it asking your friends to do the same stuff that you're doing with it, and just spread the word about it. That all helps a lot. So thank you for doing any or all of those things. It means the world to me. So that's all I got for now. Thanks again. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.